Sharp French, what up? This one luck, I let the pain inspire me. I put my all in everything I'm doing. Up until it's done, I'm me for the entirety. I put in overtime, I be working. Just know I'ma go for mine, cause I earned it. They watching, I know it's time, I confirmed it. A whole society determined.
What's up, everybody? I am back. I am Sean French, your host, and this is the Determined Society. Today, I have an international speaker, a best-selling author, and an unbelievable coach and mentor. I have Clara Capano with us. Happy Friday and welcome to the show.
Yes, happy Friday. Thanks so much for having me, Sean. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm super jacked up. So you're out in Phoenix, huh? Out in Zona.
I am. I just relocated here last year in July because, you know, that's when you want to move to Phoenix, Arizona in the middle of summer.
Makes a ton of sense. It's nice and cool then, right? Where'd you relocate from?
Just outside of Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. So not a huge move, right?
Not a huge move, but I had been in Colorado for about 30 years. California girl, born and raised, and had lived in Colorado.
Get the hell out of here. Where? Wait, where in California?
In the Bay Area, San Jose and Santa Cruz, and then San Diego.
You've got to be fucking kidding me. Sorry, I cuss on the show. I'm just letting you know.
Are you from there too?
I'm from Concord.
Small world.
Concord, Walnut Creek. That's unbelievable. Yeah. My first love is from San Jose.
Yeah, I love that. Fantastic. Yeah, I get back there at least once a year. I go to San Diego quite frequently, but I get back to San Jose at least once a year.
Oh, wow. I came to Florida in 2007, and I went back for the first time this past summer.
Yeah, I hardly recognize it. I love walking through the old neighborhood, and it's amazing. Like, I'll go by my elementary school, and you know, when you're a kid, everything looks so big, and now it's like so tiny and small.
So it's not just me. So I was going around my old stomping grounds, right? And I'm like, I lived in this shithole? It felt like everything was on top of each other. And I'm like, how did I do this? Because to me, when I was in high school and then when I would come home from college and stuff, I'm like, dude, it's so big and vast. Mm-hmm. It's utopia. It's everything. Yeah. And like living out here in Florida, there's so much land that's underdeveloped, that's not developed. And you know, I feel like you have much more room. And so I wonder if it's a perspective thing, but
it could be. I mean, I'm not much taller than I was when I was a kid, but it does seem so much smaller when I go back.
Well, hot damn. My fellow Californian. That is so cool. I didn't know that. That is so, that's so neat. So let's do this. Before we get into the fun stuff, can you give the audience just a brief overview, you know, a couple minutes of who you are and what you do and why you do it?
Absolutely. So by trade, I am a professional speaker and corporate trainer. And the areas that I focus on are really around leadership, productivity, and mindset. I bill myself as the Living Your Worth speaker. I really had a passion because I saw so many people struggling. Mostly myself. I found myself in my mid-30s, you know, waking up one day, looking in the mirror and kind of being like, how did I get here? You know, just feeling lost, feeling like I wasn't living authentically. And the best word that I could use is, you know, when you're zombie driving, you show up to work and you're like, how did I even get here? I felt like I was doing that with my life. I felt completely disconnected. And so I started talking with people and I found that so many people, especially working moms, were feeling the same. And they were living with this shroud of guilt, of shame, of burnout. And that's really what drew me to want to do what I do. And just to be able to make sure that people know that they're worthy of their dreams. They don't have to compromise themselves. Yes, there are trade-offs, but you don't have to compromise who you are to achieve success. And I found that I have a really good knack and just a natural way of being very real and helping people take theories and help them really massage them so that they fit into their own life.
It's amazing. So I want to dive into one big aspect of this, because when you said it, I'm like, okay, my audience really resonates with this. We all struggle with our worth, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, physical appearance, that's what I struggle with, right? Like my weight, do I look good enough? Am I lean enough? But then it also translates into, you know, when we have these gaps, right, and within ourselves of what we think we're worth, right? Is quite often we're worth much more than we actually think.
Oh, completely.
But you know, it chips away. It chips away consistently. So what kind of advice would you have for somebody who's listening to this show right now, really concerned about what they're worth and, you know, are they worth anything? Because a lot of times we can go through this life and be like, man, I'm not good enough.
Right. And I lived that way for so many years. I was always the girl behind somebody else, helping them shine their light. I had this thing of, you know, who would want to listen to me? I was always playing small. And it really brings me back to the passage from Marianne Williamson, Our Deepest Fear, where we talk about our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And I think it's because in society, we're told if we speak up, that we're conceited, we're egotistical and doing those things. And what I would encourage people to do is to really connect with value. If you truly believe that what you are saying has value behind it, you have an obligation to share it. So your worthiness, I think, connects with, again, the value that you're bringing. And we all have value. I can't remember who it was, but I think it maybe was Brendan Burchard. He had said, you know, 20 people can say exactly what you're saying, but not everybody's going to resonate with it. And it could be that one person that hears it the way that you say it. That's who you're showing up for, and that's who you're speaking to. So for me, I did a lot of journaling. I did a lot of mindset work as far as affirmations, you know, really getting feedback and taking feedback in, you know, asking for testimonials, you know, sitting down at the end of the day and rather than focusing on all the things you didn't get done, go through what are the great things that happened today. Really focus on, again, who did you impact today? But I think when you wake up and you really come from not a place of selling anybody something, but again, did I really work to impact somebody's life? Did I come from a place of truly wanting to help somebody? You never have a reason to hold back or fear that you're just taking up space or you're just, you know, blowing your own horn if you're really there delivering value.
I love everything you said, Clara. And the overarching theme is authenticity.
Yeah,
right. I think a lot of times when we get super scared to put something out there is because we're not speaking from our soul and our gut, right? We feel something. We have to get out there unfiltered and speak about it. You know, I did something today on social media. I was honest with my audience about, you know, how I felt about certain photos that I saw from yesterday and at a podcast shoot. It completely torpedoed me for the time being. So I felt like, well, I should need to get out there and talk about this, right? Because somebody who is in my community, my teammates, I like to call them on Instagram, is they're going to listen to it. They're going to watch that story and they're going to be like, dude, me too, man. Like me too. And I just want them to know I'm right alongside them fighting with them. And all too often, if people feel that, those individuals that are out there putting a ton of content in and doing podcasts and, you know, speaking in front of, you know, thousands of people that we have it all together and we don't, truly don't. We might be a little more aware of where we're at. Right.
We might be aware that we're a hot mess, but
we might be aware that we're all fucked up, but like, hey, you know, cool. Let's keep going. The crazy thing to me is, you know, I experienced something and you're an international speaker, so you will understand this. I did my first TED talk the other, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I remember everything leading up to it being so anxietizing and I was scared. Mm-hmm. But the moment I calmed down is when I realized that it wasn't about me.
Right.
It wasn't about me at all. What it was about is me going out there on that little red carpet, right? Yeah. A little red circle and delivering an impactful message for the people that paid money to be in those seats so I can make an impact in their lives. And the moment I did that, the nerves were gone because all I was there to do was to serve. How do you feel people would progress in their lives if all they were worried about was serving others instead of worrying about what
else? It would be such a game changer, you know? And again, you know, we hit on these things, you know, like AI and influencers, and I'm not saying that there's anything bad, but you have to take that in and again, you know, really shift through it to get to the meat of it. And I just think, again, when people come from a place of really wanting to help others, you know, it's that, you know, I had one of my mentors one time who gave me some feedback because I was playing small. And her comment to me was, you know, your ideas are great, but I'm sick of hearing about them. Are you actually going to do something? And some people could be like, wow, that was real bitchy for her to say that. And I was like, no, because she came from a place of love. She knew I could do more. And that's really what we have to do. And again, if everybody just started living from a place of, I'm telling you this because I believe in you. And I want you to excel in your highest level and version of yourself. God, think about, again, we all would start operating and vibrating at a higher level and being able to unlock that. If we all just unlock that extra one degree greatness in ourselves. But yeah, it's coming from a place of let's not tear each other down and let's really support each other.
And what do you pay a coach for anyway, dude? Like, that's the thing. It's like people can get so sensitive. Like, oh, my feelings are hurt. Like, dude, like, good.
Yeah. Good.
You're paying coaches. And in our business, we pay coaches a lot of freaking money, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with a sports coach, like a baseball coach. I'm a baseball guy. I mean, you can't tell by the way I'm dressed, right? Yeah. But, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not here to make you feel great constantly. No. I'm not here to placate you. I'm here to show you your gaps in performance. And if you don't see it and you don't make strides, I'm going to hit you between the eyes with it.
Exactly.
I'm going to hit you right the bullseye, right?
Exactly. And now, I used to love it when my clients would be like, I hate you right now. And I also kind of love you right now. And I'm like, exactly. Word.
Yeah. Yes. Because it's like, dude, like shake me up emotionally. And because here's the thing, if we're not shaken up emotionally by something a coach says, oftentimes we don't move. And the biggest fear I have is never reaching my full potential. So I need people around me to punch me in the face when I need to be punched in the face. And I mean, figuratively speaking, right? But like I want to go back to your coach though. We were talking about, you know, she said, I love all your ideas, but you're playing small. When are you going to do something? And for you, in your paradigm, in that moment, you probably just felt stuck, right? Like, I'm trying so hard, like, to get this going. What are you talking about? But how do you move? And this is something the audience could really, really benefit from. So if you guys are sitting down and you're in your home and listening to this podcast, which you probably should be every time you listen to a show, you should be taking notes, not just listening, because you're going to freaking forget about what was said. In those moments where you feel stuck and then your coach says something to you, like you're playing small, how do you filter that information and how do you forge forward in more productive ways in order to make those leaps and bounds that you want to make and then that your coach wants to see in you?
Absolutely. So I tend to be the idea person, you know, kind of that visionary. I'm not great at the finishing. And so it was a great reminder that I need to execute on my ideas. So one of the things I try to do is when I make my, you know, overall plan for the year, I also break it down into 90-day segments. And then what I do is I have an idea file. So every time I have an idea, I don't stop what I'm doing. I just put my idea in the idea file. Then every 90 days, when I sit down to do my 90-day strategy session, I come up with my 90-day goals. Then I go to my idea folder and I say, based upon my goals, which of these ideas are the best ones for me to do? And I don't pick more than three. And then what I really focus on is creating a strategy to execute those ideas. So every week, what am I doing to implement these ideas? And that helps me to stay focused, to stay in my lane. I still can keep the ideas, but it helps me to, again, not get overwhelmed and, more importantly, not get pulled off track. And then every week, it's just making sure that I touch those ideas. And again, if I get them done,
you know what,
then I can dive into the idea folder
is
earlier.
That you are being strategic,
but every 90 days, it just sort of helps
look
me
at
again
it every
stay
90 days
keep the
and not being impulsive. Yeah. You know, it's amazing because, you know, we kind of got, I think something happened with the internet here and we got crossed up, but I want to repeat it in case you didn't hear it. Is what I love about that strategy is you are fighting impulsivity. Because as creators and as entrepreneurs, like we are, we get ideas and we want to execute those freaking things like now, because we feel like, hey, if I don't do it now, someone else is going to, right? And they might, but they may not do it as good as you or myself. My thing is simply this, like, and it brings me back to a conversation I had. Have you ever heard of Burn Boot Camp?
No.
So I had a, so Burn Brew Camp is one of those hit gyms, you know, where they, I mean, it's the fastest growing fit franchise in the country. And Devin Klein, he and his wife, they found it together, and he was on my show, and we ended up becoming really good friends. And dude, we talk about the visionary and the operator, right? Yes. So when you say you're the visionary, I'm a visionary. I can sit down right here with you right now and tell you all my ideas, and I'll be like, don't know how to fucking implement them. Can you show me how to implement them? So I feel like everyone, like for every visionary, you need the operator. And for every operator, you need that visionary, because without the two, no business is ever going to be successful. So, so it's just something interesting, right? Like I have my operator now. His name is Pat Sickens, right? And like, but I didn't have it before. God bless, dude. He's, dude, honestly, that poor son of a bitch, you know, like that guy, you know, and, but he's a genius, right? Of what we're doing. And he has the plan and he has the marketing strategy. He has everything. All I have to do is show up and be the creator and be the guy. Mm-hmm. And it's important. And for those listening, like I cannot stress the fact that if you have all these ideas and you cannot get them done, then you need to give them to somebody and have them help you. And sometimes 50% of a lot is better than 100% of nothing.
So. Absolutely. And again, you know, you can still be a part of it. Again, you are the creator. You know, you can still have that creative design, but, you know, it's making sure, again, with the timelines, the deadlines, and putting it all together. And that's why, you know, those partnerships are so critical and those collaborations, because, you know, you need both the ideas and the implementation.
Yeah. I just, it's funny because, you know, I talk to a lot of creators and they're like, hey, I'm stuck here. I'm like, well, have you ever thought of just bringing somebody in? Like, bring somebody in, give them half your company.
I know.
And like, oh no, I'm not giving up anything. Partnership. Like, well, you don't have anything, you know? And so it's just like, you know, and giving away half of something could be extreme, right? But the fact of the matter is like, do you want to grow? So I would rather grow my brand and in 5 years it'd be worth 5 million and I get 2.5 million than it being worth nothing and getting all of it. Like, I'm sorry. Well, it doesn't make any sense.
And we have to remember, nobody achieves success alone. You know, you just can't do it. And again, when your ego gets involved, that's when you start playing small. You know, if you think about a surgeon, the surgeon might say, oh, I'm the rock star, but their part is so small and they have their team around them. You know, a baseball team, everybody has their position. You can't win a game without the whole team out there. And, you know, stop thinking that you are the only important person in your business. You need everybody working together. And when you can bring in people who excel in each of their worlds, that's how you're going to be able to go out there. And again, it's not about you growing your business for you. It's about growing your business so you can serve at a higher level. You know, my goal is to impact 1 million lives or more globally. That's why I get up every day. I can't do that on my own. So you have to, again, let go of a little bit of yourself for the bigger picture.
You know, it's funny because when you said 1 million, what did you think I thought in my mind?
That's too small.
Way too small.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, like, you impact me, right? And then I have an impact on others. Mm-hmm. And then they have an impact. Like, you need to be thinking in terms of billions, right? Because that's really what it is, especially with your corporate, you know, your corporate structure, when you're going to help corporations. What are some of the things that you help those companies with in order to become, you know, better operators, better sales organizations? You know, what does that look like for you?
You know, it's really going in there, because at the heart of everything is mindset. And, you know, with all the noise that is going on out there, again, you know, we even started our conversation, you know, talking about this. You know, it's so hard to keep a focused and abundant mindset. So helping them draft that. And I really work with them, you know, talking with their teams and getting everybody to know what their role is in the organization. Because no matter what it is you do, you have to be the CEO of your role. So helping them create that mindset. What does it mean to show up as the best version of themselves, to create that internal energy? energy. Then I do a lot of productivity tips, you know, talking with them about tips to leverage their time, to block distractions, to, you know, to communicate better with others, how to put together their optimal schedule, to pay attention to knowing when they work at their optimal level so they can craft again, you know, a schedule that supports them, you know, and just really working with them. Because when you can take care of the team, you know, leaders need to understand when you can create and foster an environment where people can produce the best efforts possible, that's what's going to impact the bottom line. It's not about driving the numbers. It's about driving a culture of humanity. And when we can work with people in that human element, people rise to the occasion, and that's where you're going to get the best work from them. And that's what's going to bring in the profit and revenue that they want.
Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock your full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability, feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you were meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game. You know, it's funny because I hear things in sports all the time, like, you know, trust the process, know your role, right? Get shit done. Everything you're talking about, mindset, right? And, you know, my listeners know I'm big on mindset and I'm not perfect. I struggle in certain areas, right? But all of these cliche words and sayings are cliche words and sayings for a reason, right? And what we have to understand is when you are working with a company, right, or you are a part of a company and you have a certain role, your job, just like Clara said, is to be the CEO of that role. Just because your name isn't on the building doesn't mean your name isn't on the line. This is your brand, and people don't understand it. And I had this interesting conversation yesterday with my friend Jamie. Your brand is not what you think it is. Your brand is not what you see online. Your brand is not anything like that. Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're sitting there in a corporate environment and you are underperforming, that is your brand. That is your brand. The executive team is talking about it. Your team is talking about it because you're the weakest link. So instead of taking the, you know, the mindset of, well, I, you know, this is not fair, right? Let's shift our mindset and be like, okay, what can we control, right? What can we control and how are we approaching this every single day in order to be the best me I can possibly be in this position? I just think too many people hear the word mindset now and just throw it to the side. Like, dude, it means everything.
Mm-hmm. It really is the key. And the thing that people need to understand is in this world, the only thing you can control is your mindset. I can't control if people show up to my talks. I can't control if they take it and implement things. I can't control if somebody picks up the phone when I call them. All I can control is my mindset. And my mindset will then fuel the energy that I have. And the energy will then determine, do I take the actions that I need to take? But it all stems from your mindset.
Attitude and effort, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's all mindset.
It is.
Attitude and effort. Just like, that's just like saying, hey, shift your mind, right? Mm-hmm. So like I always tell my son this, and you know, because I coach his team, it's so cute. They're 10 and, you know, and 12, and it's, you know, Little League, but it's like, you know, listen, just listen. And You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to get a hit every time. The only thing I expect is full effort and an amazing attitude. Yeah. And to your point, when we do those things, it makes those tasks that we need to do for our business or to get better, you know, at hitting or pitching or whatever it is that we're doing, it gives us the energy to get in there and attack what mm-hmm. we know we need to do, the skill yep. set, right? So just like in corporate business and in sales or whatever it is, there's a skill set that's involved. And if you do not have the right mindset, you cannot produce the right energy. And if you don't have the right energy, you cannot execute the skill work.
Exactly. And so that's what I really work with them on is, you know, doing that and walking them through some exercises to define for themselves, because everybody has a different definition yeah. of who they are when they're at their best. And that's what you do is when you show up at your optimal level, that's how you're going to be able to get your optimal energy. And I just want to share, you know, something that you brought up is the idea that you don't have to be perfect. Well, you know, you're a baseball guy. I'm not much of a baseball girl, but I think I'll say this the right way. You know, think about the batting average. A good batting mm-hmm. average is 300. Well, that also means that they're only hitting 3 out of 10 balls. They're missing 7 of them, if I'm understanding correctly. So well, that's a 30%, yeah. you know, and that's excellent. So why is yeah. it in school if you get a 30%, you're failing? Why is it if you, you know, if I got 3 out of 10 clients out of 10 phone calls, I'd be ecstatic, you know?
Oh, dude, can you imagine?
I'm like, you know, we don't. And so it's like, it's just another example of strive for your best. Yeah. You know, if every day you give your best and if the best is 10%, celebrate that 10%.
This is a big topic. I like this one, Claire. Thank you for bringing that up. Every day our 100% and our best is going to look different. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some ways that you talk to your clients and your corporations about understanding what their 100% is that day and give it that and not prejudge it based on what you had yesterday, right? And, exactly. and compare it to that yesterday's 100%. That's dangerous.
It is. So I'll tell you one of the things that I do, and I would encourage the listeners again, because we all know they're home taking notes because we just told them to do that a few minutes ago. So I call it the
of five course, model audience for sure.
We all have had a moment where we were in the zone. We left an appointment, we walked off stage, we whatever it was, and we're like, I nailed it. We've all had that moment. So think about that moment in time. Yeah. And what you want to do is write down what are 5 words that you would use to describe yourself in that moment. So for me, my 5 words are energized, prepared, passionate, motivating, and genuine. Those 5 words represent Clara when Clara is at her best. And if you think about it, this is also my job every day. My job is to show up as the best version of myself. This is what people are paying me for, and this is what people are expecting from me. You don't want a 70% version of Clara showing up to your show. You want the best version of Clara. So every day, check in with those words. Am I prepared to be this version of myself? Because if you're not willing and if you're not in a position to show up as those 5 words, you're not going to be serving at your optimal level. Now, you also have to then think realistically because we're all human. There are some days where I wake up and I'm not feeling super energized or feeling super, you know, motivational, but I need to get there before I step on my stage, whether my stage is a podcast, writing, speaking, coaching, whatever it is. So maybe I have to go and read something. Maybe I need to listen to a song to pump me up, whatever it is. When you get ready to connect with whoever it is your customer is, you better be those 5 words. So that's a really great way to help people understand what it means to be their best.
This is applicable and on time because today I did something on social media. Like I was just down, you know, like I was in tears this morning. Mm-hmm. I'll say I was in tears, right?
And we all have those days. I didn't want to get out of bed on Monday.
Right. I'm just tired of it. I'm just like, make it end, right? Make this pain and the struggle end. And I realized that I am ending it by doing the work. And so in the past, I would have been like, well, I feel bad. So I'm just going to sit at home today and sleep or avoid getting in the gym, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing I did is I got into the gym, right? And then I'm not, you know, feeling great after, but I got a great workout in, max effort, amazing lift, amazing cardio, amazing stretch afterwards. Came home and ate nutritious food, and I was still low. The moment I saw your face, my energy level was up. That doesn't
have that effect on people.
You're a sweet woman. But the thing is like I was able to take that little light switch and flip it on because of the things I did today, yeah. Right? For me, where my energy comes from, I'm a determined, relentless, driven individual. Mm-hmm. And if I don't take care of what I need to, it's very hard for me to get into this rich energy I'm in right now, mm-hmm. right? I have to be able to build the confidence, but I build the confidence by doing the shit I don't want to do. Yeah. Now, there are people that take that to an extreme out there on the internet, and it's almost sure. laughable. But what are your thoughts on that, Clara? Like, Clara, like the days where you don't want to do something, do you mm-hmm. do it or do you cash it in?
You know, I think you got to have the checks and balances because mm-hmm. sometimes we do push ourselves too hard and there is beauty in the rest and the reflection. So, you sure. know, you have to kind of look at the overall because you don't want to teeter on burnout. And sometimes you can say, oh, no, I have to push through. I have to do these things. And it could actually cause you harm. So, sure. you know, I think you have to really, you know, look at why am I not doing this? Am I not doing this because I am exhausted? I've already worked 50 hours this week and I am exhausted. Or am I not doing it because I'm afraid? Am I not doing it because I don't understand how to do it the right way? Am I not doing it because I'm intimidated? Those are not good reasons to not do something. So again, you know, really looking at those. And then I think again, doing what you did of reflecting and saying, okay, well, what does the rest of my day look like? You know, working out is a great example because a lot of people don't enjoy working out. But again, what mm-hmm. does it do for you? You know, I work out. Now I do enjoy it, not every day, but I work out just like you do because I need the energy to do the things that I need to do. So remembering it's part of, again, the medicine of my world. So I think really doing those, you know, sometimes I need to go and take 2 hours off and get away. Like the other day, I was in front of my computer recording and doing things from 7 a.m. until 11:30. My brain was tired. Oh. I could have easily said, nope, I'm not done. I've got to stay. But that wasn't the best thing for me. The best thing for me at that time was to step away for a couple of hours and then come back. So again, you have to really be honest with yourself. And this is where I say we all have to be a better boss to ourselves, going back to being the CEO. You know, you have to think about it, you know, and ask yourself the questions, do the self-evaluation, because if you're playing small, be a better boss and hold your feet to the fire and show up. Also, if it's time to take a break, give yourself the clearance and the grace and go take a break.
See, that's something that I think is very relevant now, right? There's the big hustle culture on social mm-hmm. media with these bigger entrepreneurs and these fitness experts, and they drive the shut the F up and just do it. Right. And I fell into that. And what happened was I would get in really good shape and then I'd fall off big time because I did not have the bandwidth nor the energy to sustain what I was doing. And, you know, I've gotten a lot better recently. It's funny because I was talking to my fitness coach, Matthew. And, I said to him yesterday, I was like, dude, I did a thing. He goes like, what? I go, I worked out at 9:30 in the morning. And it was amazing. It was so nice. I was fed. I had more energy. I sweated more. I was able to push more weight. And so I said to him, I was like, you know, I know everybody's going to be upset because they're not going to see 4 o'clock in the morning on my stories anymore, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it anymore.
Exactly.
Mondays I'll do it or, you know, or whatever. But like, you know, I enjoyed getting in there again today at 8:45. Mm-hmm. Like I'm an entrepreneur. I make my own schedule.
Our biorhythms change. Our energies change. And that's why I always tell people, find the pattern that fits for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to live by somebody else's standards. I don't care if 95% of the population is in the gym, you know, at 5 a.m. If it doesn't work for you, don't do it. Find what works for you.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work for me anymore. Cause like, here's the thing. If I wake up at 4 to go to the gym, I don't go to bed before 10:30.
Yeah.
Because all day I'm working, doing things for my brand, and I also own a payroll company. So I'm growing that. And then I go pick up my kids. And then when my wife comes home, we have dinner together and we do things together. And I don't get to connect with my wife until like 8 or 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. There's no shot I'm going right to bed. I want to be able to at least watch a show with her, you know, chat with her. And, you know, if I go to bed at 10:30, like last night, we finally went to bed at 10:30 and I woke up at 6. I got 7.5 hours of sleep.
It's perfect.
But I'm not tired.
Nope. And that those are the trade-offs that I talk about. You know, it's all about finding that harmony. You know, there might be a time in another year or two, you might go back to being in the gym at 4:30.
Exactly.
And that's fine. But for right now, when you're looking at your whole life and the balance wheel of your life, having those quality relationships with your family is critical. So it's worth the trade-off. You know, and that's where, again, you have to do these evaluations, even again with your business. You know, there's certain seasonalities, you know, there's certain times where I get more FaceTime and more phone time because there's certain seasonalities to when I'm on the road more. So that's why you have to constantly examine it and readjust it. And as much as we need to hustle, we also need to embrace the beauty of the flow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really hard for an entrepreneur, especially new ones. Especially myself, I consider myself a newer entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard, right? It's hard to give yourself that grace to know when to, okay, I need to lay off the gas a little bit. Like, everything's fine. Do what you know you need to do, but don't kill yourself and kill your energy at the same time. That's that's super important for everybody listening to understand. It's like, you know, half the people that you guys are listening to on social media and watching, they don't live by the principles that they're saying that they do on, on camera. You know, they're chasing clicks and they're very successful at it because they'll say some things that are very controversial, right? To get the algorithm to push it. And you click on it and you, I can't believe this person said that. And then you send it to 5 freaking people and you're, all you're doing then is keeping that toxicity going. That's not real life, y'all. Real life is waking up and doing the best that you can. And if the best that you can today is a 10-minute walk or reading for 10 minutes or just simply telling your spouse that you love them, well, then that's what it is.
Exactly. You know, you need to be able to look at yourself at the end of the day and look at your own self in the mirror and say, you know what? I gave my best today. Again, not I was perfect, not did I give it all, but again, did I give the best with what I have? And celebrate that.
So good. So good. Well, we're going to, you know, land the plane here in a couple minutes. It's been an amazing conversation. I just wanted to
acknowledge you. And, thank you.
You know, I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you and, you know, you're awesome. I love your sign behind you. Sarcasm is my superpower.
Yes. That was a gift from my mother.
Oh shit, man. That's just great. Your mother knows best, right?
Yes, she does. And it is so true.
So when you need to get in a better energy, you mentioned listening to music, right? Now, a lot of people can, you know, get in a good kind of, you know, rich energy. I do.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what your song is that snaps you into whatever you
need. The one song right now, it's Let's Go by Neo. That's a big one for me. That gets me going.
I thought you were going to say Trick Daddy. I was like, hell yeah. Look at you, girl.
I tend to be more of an alternative rock, kind of punk rock kind of girl.
Really?
In general, though. Yeah.
Damn, that's really cool. Yeah. I for sure thought you were going to say Let's Go by oh my gosh, I just Trick Daddy and Twista. Yeah. That would have been a game changer. It's a good song.
It is a good song.
Probably not your bag though.
I'm more the grunge and the punk scene.
What's your favorite group?
Oh, well, God, there's so many. It's hard to do that. I would say outside of Duran Duran, which always has my heart, a lot of the things from the 80s, like the Smiths, the Cure, the Cult, love listening to them. I love Linkin Park.
You would get along really well with my wife. Yeah. When I come home, if like from baseball or whatever, I'll come home and I swear like Phil Collins is living in my household, like, you know, or some type of 80 hair band.
Like, yeah. It's
great music, but you know, I love my hip hop and I love my country. Right. I'm so eclectic. And I love some rock, right. Not fully. It's not my thing, but well, you know, I
have your wife call me, we can commiserate and dude, we can
seriously
we can have a dance party together.
It gets crazy sometimes. It's funny because right before I did my my TED event, I was, like I said, just mortified before I got on stage. And one of my recent guests, he's a hip hop artist, his name's Crash Menotti. He made me an intro song.
Oh, nice.
And it's like a custom intro song, and it says, you know, it has a little small little beat, and then it starts with Sean French, what up? And then it goes into like this 30-second verse on everything that my show is, and lights me up every time.
That's pretty badass.
What's that?
That's pretty badass.
It's badass, dude. It's badass. And the first week that I dropped it on an intro, I think I got maybe 30 text messages.
Wow. That's so like, cool.
It reminds me of what the show is and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's really cool, yeah. But it gets me in a really big zone. And some Nelly Furtado, like old Nelly Furtado, yeah. Like the very first album. Have you remember the song Shit on the Radio? Yeah. Go listen. The moment.
Top of my head.
Shit on the Radio.
Okay.
That song.
Okay.
Is so good. So good. Listen, we're going to land the plane here, but I want you to talk to the audience. You know, I have some, you know, corporate people that listen to this. How can someone get in touch with you and connect with you and possibly have you come speak to their crew?
Yes, I would love that. So the best place is, you know, obviously on LinkedIn. So just Clara Capano on LinkedIn, and then also my website, which is just claracapano.com. The best thing that I encourage everyone to do is to just set a clarity call with me. It's a 15-minute, just get to know you. There's no obligation. But again, we can talk about any of the struggles you're having. You know, my goal is to help people and to give guidance. And, you know, if we can have a 15-minute chat and you can leave that call feeling more empowered and more, you know, having more direction, that's all I can ask for. So I would say just schedule a call and let's just talk and see where
you heard her. You heard her. Go get at her at claracapano.com or claracapano on LinkedIn. Do some research and hop on a clarity call with her. I can guarantee you'll feel much better afterwards. So with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you found this show impactful, please share it with your people. Tag both of us. I'd love to hear from you to see what you thought about it. If it's your first time listening to the show, or if you haven't done it already, hit that subscribe button and leave a written review. Let us know how we're doing and, you know, send some suggestions because we love to have some more amazing people on the show and I love to listen to my audience. So until next time, y'all. Go chase your dreams, be determined, be relentless, and don't just sit there and think something's going to happen for you. Go chase it down. Peace. Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock your full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability, feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you are meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game.